Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, are you okay? You look a little pale.
Yeah, I think I'm okay. I passed out for a minute, Jim. Why does your basement look so weird?
Well, we're not in my basement, Patrick. We are backstage at Jammin' Java.
You mean people came to our show?
Yes, they did.
Did it go well?
Yes, it did.
Did we break our equipment at the end of the show?
No comment. We are down to the end here of the...
Yeah, this is it, man. It's Friday.
The Who show.
Yep.
The Who live show. So if you have not been listening this whole week, well, this is not the place to start. You want to go back to the Monday episode.
That's right.
Go right from the beginning. So we did a whole Who live countdown at Jammin' Java in Vienna, Virginia, in front of a live audience. We did top 15 songs. We recorded over 2 hours, 2.5 hours worth of material there. And then we cut it up to be these five episodes this week.
Yeah.
And what we have now on Friday, of course, is the big reveal of the top three.
Yeah, totally. And I want to say thanks to everyone who came out. Some of their voices you heard, some you didn't. But I don't, you know, want to run down the whole list. But there's a lot of great people that came. Some of our good friends, Bill Mulligan, Bud Verge, Nick Scalera, Tim Hoffman, great guy. Kevin Spain was there. Brad, you know, there's all Snyder. I mean,
so
everybody. It was great. It was really heartwarming to see all the folks that came out. It was really fun.
Chris Wadsworth was there. Jenna Warren was there. We had some folks I used to work with back in the day,
exactly.
In my old job.
And digital folks, you know who you are.
Yeah. Did you say Rob Gates?
Rob was there. Yeah. That's right. He's on the mic, so you'll hear Rob. And it was awesome.
It really was. So many people, and then new people who we didn't know before.
We met some great folks.
This event. That's really great, too.
I wish everyone could have been there. From Paul Trapp.
Of course.
To, you know, Keith Jacobson.
Well, what I was going to say is, if you are a patron of the show, and go to patreon.com/suburbspod. We are going to put some video up there that you'll be able to see. So check that out. And also your slideshow.
We're
going to put that up.
That's right.
Do you want to mention that?
Yeah, briefly. I did a slideshow, basically a PowerPoint presentation of every Who album I own, and I told the story of how I acquired it and what it means to me, and I tried to go through that pretty quickly. And another person we should mention, our great friend Jasper Colt, who's been with us from the early days, he basically said after the show, that wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. So that was a good compliment.
So the slideshow was something that you came up with. I thought it was a fantastic idea because the whole idea was the Who's put out like 12 official studio albums, but you have 26 albums.
That's right. And how the hell did you end up with so many?
And you put it all into a slideshow, but it was really like too visual to include on the podcast this week. But what we're doing for the patrons is we're going to include that video on the Patreon site, and we're going to post the slideshow so you can sort of follow along, right?
You can download and annotate the slideshow and send it back to me with mistakes.
Unfortunately, we're not going to take the time to put in like a little ding where you should turn the slide, advance the slide, like a... What did they call that? Film strips?
Remember that in
school?
If you got to be the film strip monitor, that was a great thing.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. Yeah. But you can get the gist. You can sort of follow along with Patrick. So that'll be on the
anybody
Patreon.
Anybody wants to, let us know.
But on today's episode, we're going to have the top three reveal, plus people are going to come up and talk about songs they think should have been in the top 15
great
countdown.
Part of the show.
Right? Yep. So you're going to hear that too. And then there's a big finale at the end. All right. Did we introduce ourselves?
I don't think so.
All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And here is the grand finale of the Who show. Maybe the farewell show.
First farewell tour.
There you go. We are down to the top three. I'm wondering how many people have figured this out already. Should we go? Number three?
People try to put us to death. Just because we get around. Talking about my generation. Things they do look awful. Talking about my generation. I hope I die before I get old. Talking about my generation. dig what we all say. I'm not trying to cause a big sensation. I'm just talking about my generation.
All right, I want to ask. Yeah, go ahead. You can applaud, sure. I want to ask how many people are surprised that this is number three. Anyone? A few people? Yeah.
Myself.
Yourself, okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously, one of their anthemic songs and signature song, and also, I think when you listen to it from today's perspective, it still sounds pretty fresh and kind of punk rock, and but yeah, with a blues structure that has this like call and response to it. It's a pretty amazing song. I wonder though, what's with the stutter?
I don't know. That's a really good question. Yeah. Do you?
If anyone wants to step up and discuss this, I know there have been various explanations for it.
Mm-hmm.
I took it as just kind of like he's a nervous kid, right? You know, it's my generation. He's sort of like, you know,
it goes back to the class.
Then. Mike Snyder has something.
It's the drugs.
Okay. Well,
they're on speed, and they would talk too fast, and they were making fun of themselves and the other people around them. That's it.
That's good. That's all you need.
As I mentioned, many of the songs are about drugs.
Now, I'll just describe this song with one quick anecdote. I know it's been a lot about me recently in the show, Jim, but there used to be a place in Falls Church, Virginia, where I grew up and I went to high school, that was a little grocery store in a little strip mall. And the great thing about this grocery store was they did not card you if you wanted to buy alcohol. So they sold two kinds of beer. They sold Busch and they sold Miller, regular Miller, the High Life. So one night, me and my friend Andy Dubuque, and I'm terribly sorry he wasn't here because he can tell this story better than me, but we were driving around his mom's car drinking some Miller beer, and My Generation came on the radio, and I was so wound up that I punched out the back window of his mother's car with my hand, actually broke it. And I was really wild, you know, riled up at that point, and that's what happened.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
We have someone from the audience here.
My name's Matt, and I own a guitar store in Falls Church.
Action Music.
That's the one, and thank you. And one of the things, there are so many things going on in this song that are awesome. The stutter, which kind of speaks to the frustration of youth, you know, wanting to express the anger that it has towards adulthood and class and all that stuff. But the thing that always struck me about the song, and I read this, and I don't know if it's accurate, but I hope it is that it's got one of the best Entwistle descending line bass solos in it ever. And the story that I read, which struck me as a teenager, was that they went into the studio to cut the track, and they were playing on a Dan Electro bass, which was made in New Jersey, and he broke a string on the bass. And they went back to the music store and said, well, you know, we broke the string. It's like, well, we don't have these strings. They only come on these basses. So they had to buy another bass. And they went back in, and they did it again, and he broke another string. And they didn't quite finish the track. And they went back and bought a third bass to finish the track because they couldn't buy the strings. And I was like, as a teenage kid growing up in Southern California, I'm like, who the hell buys three basses to cut a track? I was just so impressed with them at that moment. But it's just a powerful song and such a great example of Entwistle's playing and the intensity of the band and the class kind of struggle that they represent.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. That's
yeah, for sure.
Hey, Matt. Matt, while we have you, let me ask you something related to that, breaking guitars. I read, too, that you know, Townsend was breaking guitars so often, like they would do it at the end of every show, that he actually became a really good, like, guitar tech. Like, he could piece the pieces back together. Did you ever hear that?
I personally haven't heard that story, but, I mean, we all are familiar with the story of the famous picture of him with the broken Rickenbackers behind him that he gave to a tech who, like, disappeared with him. But, you know, the whole thing about Kit Lambert kind of taking him aside and going, hey, don't break so much stuff. We're losing money here, you know, is ultimately a classic classic tale. But
amazing.
As far as Townsend being kind of, you know, I'm so happy that he concentrated on music and art more than guitar repair in the grand scheme of things.
That's the day job. I don't want to talk about that here.
Thank you.
Yeah, right, seriously, thank you. Folks. Yeah, right. Action Music in Falls Church, man. Yeah. It's right next to the CD cellar. Great record store, great guitar shop. Go over there and look at some really cool guitars and get all your supplies.
All right, we're down to the last two.
Let's do it.
Of course, Won't Get Fooled Again.
Yeah.
From Who's Next.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we love that song. You know, I think it has some relevance to today, maybe a little bit.
Did he write this song in 1971 about 2020?
Sort of. I mean, you know, obviously the song, I don't know. I would love to hear what people have to say about this, because I always find it interesting. The song is sort of kind of promoting the idea of revolution, but then also kind of cynical in a way, too. The whole, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, right? Like, does it really matter? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, and I think that's entirely accurate, Jim, and one of the great underlying themes. Again, like some of the songs for the Beach Boys, you know, Smile, That Never Came Together, I would have loved to have understood what Townsend was really trying to drive at when he wrote these songs and how it all fit into the big conceptual picture. I think more importantly, at least for the reality of Who's Next, is the use of synthesizer on this album is totally revolutionary. Nobody had used it like this before. Nobody had, you know, used it in a way that connected the songs in a hard rock manner and allowed Townsend to slash his guitar like the way he was slashing. And I just think it's totally revolutionary and just amazing what he did with these synthesizers.
That's right. And back then you had to like program the synthesizer.
That's
It was like working with computers, right?
Yeah, and they did it in a way where they could still play live as a four-piece rock band.
All right, we have a comment here.
Yeah, I was just going to get, this is like the essence of the Who is Musicians for me, because you have the really busy drum line, little fills all through the song, with a really busy bass line underneath it that is just adding to it. And then those power chords by Pete over the top. I mean, it just distills for me like each essence of who they were as musicians in one package, in one song.
That's well said, man. That's very well said.
And then you have this, to your point. That's exactly what we were talking about right there, yeah.
Beautiful.
One of the greatest screams in rock and roll history.
Perhaps the most iconic of all time, yeah.
That's for sure. Is that Nick?
Hey, it's Nick Scalera.
There he is.
I just want to mention about the Keith Moon drumming, and this is something that always bothered me when I heard it later as an adult, because as a kid I worshipped Keith Moon. But Pete Townsend has said many times he couldn't stand playing with Keith Moon because Keith Moon could not keep time, and he was always trying to just sort of like essentially be playing a melody, playing with the vocals, And I think this is like the ultimate example of that. I mean, it's just like, it's just so many different time signatures, so many different rhythms, and it's just not easy to play with, I would guess. And so, you know, Keith is, or Pete has said this over and over and over again, and even I remember when Kenny Jones came in the band, him making statements that, you know, it's much easier to play with Kenny than it is with Keith, you know, and that just used to really bother me, and I don't know if anyone else felt the same way, but I just thought I would bring that up after hearing that great drum line.
That's good, yeah.
That's a great observation. And Nick makes a great point. I mean, one thing that's really interesting about The Who at this point, Keith Moon needed to wear headphones because of those synthesizer tracks so he could try to stay in line with them. But as Nick said, he wouldn't do it.
That's right.
But somehow they all got it together. And if anyone has seen The Who live, this song live is one of the most, you know, it's just one of those rock and roll moments that you'll never forget.
Yes.
Yes.
We got a mic on Bobby.
So when there it comes to...
State your name, please.
Hey, it's Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
I'm going to resist going too far down the drummer rabbit hole with you guys. But, you know, when it comes to drums and Keith Moon, I feel like it's... Try to imagine what kind of band The Who would have been without him as their drummer. You know, and it's like, would they, for me, they probably would have been like a shittier version of the Beatles.
Yeah.
Right? And then as that went, played out over the years, who knows where that would have gone. I think that there's no other band where Keith could have been the drummer that it would have worked with, like, that construct. And, you know, he's just like, for me, he's not even really a drummer. He's just like this crazy kind of like guy who was talented at that instrument who just ended up being in this band, right? And for me, I guess the point is Won't Get Fooled Again is the penultimate example of that, where it's like, who the hell knows what he was thinking in this song? But it completely worked. And what, like, the choices that he's making, I don't even know if they were like conscious choices as a drummer and as a band. But it worked. Like, so I guess we have Keith and history to thank for that. I think that it just worked by totally random chance, honestly. And so at the end of the day, it worked. And that's probably just a testament to how amazing these guys all were as individual musicians, right?
Yeah.
Well said,
sure.
Bobby.
Very good.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man.
Bobby, hey, one quick thing. As a drummer yourself, do you try to drum along to Who song?
No. No drummer should try because it's impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, there's tons of anecdotes about, like, people tried to decode how he played drums, and like he led with his left foot when he played double bass notes and all that shit. But it's like there's no point in trying to decode that, as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, Keith Moon as a drummer, he's impossible to decode. There will only be ever one of him in history, and let's just take it at what it was, which was him just doing his thing however it came to be.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks,
beautiful.
Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby.
All right.
And I got to say, thank you, Bobby, for showing up. And that's awesome. But I love what Bobby said. Keith Moon was a force of nature. Like, he really wasn't a drummer. He really wasn't. He wasn't anything. And apparently, if you read about him, he had a house called Terra that he bought. And you would go into every room and there'd be a different kind of music playing. But he kept, like, different record players and jukeboxes going in every room, and he would just walk around. Like, there'd be like Jan and Dean in one room and the Beach Boys in another room and soul music in another room and jazz, and he would just wander from room to room, and like he loved that kind of chaos. Yeah. And his mother-in-law was playing like Frank Sinatra records in one room, and it was just crazy, man.
Sheila, is this what it's like at your house?
Except on a much smaller scale.
Okay, yeah. All right, before we get to number one real quick, what was the next thing? I think we were...
Here's my top
10 real quick. These are not in ranked order.
Okay.
But just real quickly, what do we not cover here? Legal Matter.
Yes,
by the way,
talk about that.
One of the great sort of like...
It got one vote.
It got one vote.
It was
me. I love that song so much. It has a great riff, and it just feels like controlled chaos, like it's about to go off the rails at any time. It's just a great song. Quick one, Wally's Away, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible sort of mini opera. What else? Oh, The Seeker.
The Seeker.
Was not
we
on
haven't
the top
talked about that.
15.
Yeah, that's amazing.
What a great song. I love that song. I love the whole like message of the song, you know, that the whole idea of we're always, you know, looking for what we're after and we may not ever get it. Right. And then we're, I think the others all made the list. So there you go. There's my top 10. What do you got?
Here's mine. There's one song in here that got one vote, and it's Too Much of Anything, and that was my vote. It's an amazing song. It's on Odds and Sods. I also have The Seeker, which is kind of cool.
Yep.
I have Odorono, which I talked about. I'm One from Quadrophenia. Now, this is an amazing song. I don't know if we have what Nick wrote in his comments, but Nick wrote something really great about this song in his comments. I'll tell you, it's a fantastic song. I mean, I got a Gibson without a case. You know, what a great line. And there's so many great things that picking. I think it was used as a Levi's commercial at one point. It was so cool in the 80s. I may be wrong about that. Also, what does it say about me? However much I booze and too much of anything. So we got some problems there. But Going Mobile, that's not a song we talked about, although it was in the quiz. I think that's an amazing song. That's my favorite song on Who's Next. So
You're getting a lot of applause. Very good. Good picks.
And everybody, before you go to sleep tonight, go home, watch the A Quick One While He's Away version on Kids Are All Right from the Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus. You'll like it.
Oh, wait. We were going to ask people if there was any songs we haven't touched upon you want to talk about. Real quickly, sir, please step up to the microphone.
So I've seen The Who in concert going back to the early 70s.
Wow.
Probably seen them 60, 70 times, London, all over the country over many years.
When was the first time you saw them, Steve?
In June 1974 at Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
I was in the fifth row. Pretty cool. Saw actually Keith Moon. So probably a few people here have actually seen The Who. But the point I was going to make about what's missing is, as everyone comments, all the rock writers, The Who is really a band best listened to live.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that seems to be missing from this list are songs that they really excel at playing live. Like, for example, I'm surprised to see from Tommy, the only song is Pinball Wizard.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems a little strange to me. Like a song like Amazing Journey, to see the musicmanship. I'm not a musician, but when you watch The Who play that, even currently in their current tours over the last 2 or 3 years, Daltrey's not even singing. It's amazing to see that. So that might be a song that I would say is missing. And of course, the finale of Tommy. How is that not on the list?
I don't
understand that as a 50-year Who fan. How can that not be on this list?
Sheila compiled the votes.
Hey, so. Steve. Hey, Steve. Let me ask you really quick while you're at the mic.
Sure.
How does the current version of The Who, when was the last time you saw them most recently?
Recently, I saw them in May in D.C. at what used to be called Nissan Pavilion. I forget what it's called now.
Right. And how does that compare to when you saw them in the 70s and even the 80s?
They're really, in many ways, there's no comparison. Mm-hmm. How could you compare John Entwistle, Keith Moon, Pete Townsend, and Roger Daltrey just up there on the stage with Pete and Roger and an orchestra of 50?
Right.
There isn't a comparison. However, that isn't to say that what you will see today, if you've never seen The Who, is not fantastic.
Yep.
One thing that when I get made fun of sometimes by people in my office about being a Who fan, like a colleague of mine says, oh, what do they do now? Smash their wheelchairs. And it's said in good fun. But what's missing is that when you see The Who today, you're not seeing an oldie show. You are seeing real rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Daltrey's voice, while it's certainly not, he's 75 years old. He turned 75 on March 1st. You're not, obviously it's not fair to compare him today to someone who is 25 years old.
Right.
But he still, and Pete as well, and their backup group, Simon Townsend, Pete's brother, Zach Starkey, Ringo Starr's son, they're phenomenal musicians. They are playing an all-out two-hour rock and roll concert. It is not an oldie show. So how does it compare? it is great today, but it's different than actually seeing the real Who. So that would be my, and I've seen a lot of kind of memorable concerts over the years, but it's all great.
Well said. Yeah, that's a great distillation. Thank you, Steve. And I'll tell you, Jim, really quick. I got to say thanks to this guy. I don't know if he's still alive. His name is Roger Turner. He was a baseball coach in the Babe Ruth League I played in. I was in eighth grade. He took seven of us baseball players. We were all in eighth grade to see The Who 10 days after Cincinnati.
What?
Yep, that's the first time I saw him. We saw him at the Capitol Center on that same tour. Talk about parents that were very nervous about letting their kids go to a rock concert.
Of course.
That was the first time I went to see him, man. It was pretty amazing. It was with Kenny Jones, but, you know, it was incredible. I remember some of it, but not a ton, and I was just starting to get into the band, and then I did see him on their farewell tour in 1982, you know, the big farewell tour they had on It's
One
Hard.
One of many.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Another comment from the audience.
Hey, it's Nick again. So you guys both had it in your list. A quick one while he's away.
Yeah.
The mini opera. For me, we talked about this a little bit before. I had The Kids Are All Right on a VHS tape that I wore out. And I watched it constantly over and over again. I had all the lines memorized. But that central piece where they do that performance at the Rock and Roll Circus that caused Mick Jagger to keep that thing like under wraps for like 30 or 40 years, to me is the best televised live performance of any band I've ever seen before. And if you haven't seen it, you have to see it. But it's an example. It was referred to with the previous speaker that the live performance of A Quick One is so far superior to what they were able to put on vinyl in 1966. I mean, the song just like takes off live. All those changes, granted the lyrics, not quite woke by today's standards, the story's a little bit weak, but the musicianship, the way they can move from like time signature to time signature, the stuff that happens in that video where like, you know, all of a sudden water falls on Keith Moon's snare drum, and you know, it's just wild stuff that's happening. It's just one of the best things I've ever seen in terms of a live performance.
That's great.
It's
amazing. And how unexpected a song like that to be better live than studio, right?
Totally.
Something
so complex.
That complex, right?
And you know what I love about that too, Nick, is how hard and fast Keith Moon's playing. He's singing the lyrics the whole time. Like he's singing along with all the harmonies in there. And they do that harmony thing at the beginning where all four of them are standing around. And there's a shot at the end where they cut to Brian Jones, and Brian Jones is just like, that was so, and, you know, everybody's on their feet.
All right. We have Rob coming up.
Give me some Rob Gates.
Yes. So there was one reference in the top 15 to newer Who, that is Who after Keith Moon, You Better You Bet, which is good song. But I think the best song from that period is Another Tricky Day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Okay, yep.
Which is a great song.
It's a great song. I thought you were going to go with Eminence Front. Nobody's mentioned that at all today.
No. That was a thing.
Not so much.
Eminence Front was a thing.
Another Tricky Day. Very good song.
Yep.
All right, we have one more.
Hey, it's Paul again. Just two quick ones that weren't mentioned were Pure and Easy, which I think was from off of Odds and Sods, which was originally a Townsend solo song, and also Sparks, the live version from The Kids Are All Right. I think that was a Woodstock version, but I might be incorrect about that.
I think you're right.
But that's super powerful.
Yep. And that's a great shout, man. Cool. Sparks is just incredible. Yeah.
All right, now we have Mike.
All right, this will be short, but I am up for Eminence Front.
Yeah.
It's a hypnotic, older song, you know, and it's not what you think of as The Who, but it's how they, it may be a put on, but it's a good song to me.
Yeah.
Also, I will say, anybody that's out there that's listening to this that's not around our area and has a chance to see The Who this year, they should do it, because I'll second what Steve says. It's a good experience what they put together right now.
Yeah, totally. Right. Well said, Mike. I think, didn't they use Monday Night Football, use Eminence Front as like their break music at one point, like when they went to commercials?
Possibly.
I think they did.
All right.
Yeah.
We have another comment. Come on.
One that I thought was missing. This is my top song. And that is from the Who by Numbers Slip Kid, the opening track.
Yeah, amazing song, man.
And the thing that I like about it, well, there's so much I like about the lyrics. I like it's the character, you know, no easy way to be free. And, you know, so it's a young person, but it's also like an older Pete Townsend, maybe looking back on his youth. But speaking of drumming and Keith Moon's like kind of wild style, the drumming that starts off the song, like that shuffle, is just so sweet. And I don't know how, and it kind of sticks through it through the whole song. And a great guitar solo, just everything about that song, I really love it.
Cool. Man, I'm really glad you brought up Who by Numbers and Moon's drumming. That's one of his very best albums that people probably don't think of as a great Who drumming album, but it's so amazing. I got to say that when I was growing up, I didn't get my driver's license till I was 11, so I was kind of late getting it. Now I actually had to wait till 16, maybe 17 because of the police. We had an 8-track player in my car, and in the car my mom owned, my mom's, rest in power. And I had Who by Numbers on 8-track, and However Much I Booze has a line that says, I'm nothing but a well-fucked sailor. And the first time I played that, my mom said, he's a what kind of sailor? So that's all I got. That's the whole story.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Ready.
Number one.
It is, folks.
All right,
Baba
there we
O'Reilly.
Go. Number one.
All right. Now, I will tell you, and Sheila can tell you this better, this was the runaway winner of the voting. It was on pretty much everybody's ballot, and well-deserved, Jim. The opening synthesizer riff puts you in a different state of mind, you know, totally takes you out of the reality you're in into someplace else. And, you know, I don't, you know, necessarily, again, going back to Lifehouse, understand how it might have fit into the scenario, but it's just so intriguing and so mysterious and so beautiful, and it's got some great windmill power chords in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty much a perfect song.
All right.
Yeah.
Is it a celebration of youth or a condemnation of youth?
Yes, it is. I think it's both. That's right. I think it is both. I think that's the dichotomy of the song. Yeah, I really do. They're all wasted, but yeah, okay. That's cool.
That's right.
I like being wasted.
We've all been there. Your number one Who song, everyone?
Baba O'Reilly. So I think a combination between Meher Baba, as we talked about, and Terry O'Reilly, the modern composer, is really where the title came from. Yep. What do you have to say about it? It was on your list?
Of course it is. No, it was not on my list.
It was not on your list, really. Your top 10.
I was just being contrary, probably. I will say that when I had Who's Next as a kid and I listened to it over and over and over and over again, this song had little like cracks, like snaps, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. On the vinyl. And so still to this day, when I hear that song anywhere,
I still hear the cracks.
I hear the little cracks and the snaps. Yeah. It's a great song. It's an amazing song. I mean, the little organ loops that play that they had to figure out how to do. Mm-hmm. Those three chords really have become sort of like the centerpiece of a lot of rock music. I mean, I think it's like that chord progression has been used over and over again in other places.
I think the integration of synthesizer and guitar also is like that. You know, I will say this. A couple things I want to say. One, thanks to everybody who came out here. I don't know if we deserve to be on a stage talking about music, but we are, and I thank you guys for doing that. But also, thank you. Also, like Kevin Spain said about Stairway to Heaven, The Who feels different than Zeppelin to me in that sense. Like, there's a lot of these songs. Like, any song here could be number one, and I'd be like, cool, that's a good number one. You know what I mean? And I think the fact that 76 Who songs got votes in people's top tens speaks a lot to this band, their longevity, and the different personalities like we've heard from
and
listeners.
I think the sort of variety of sounds.
Totally, man. Early stuff, later stuff, mid-period stuff, all that. And all right. We got You Better, You Bet.
So you, absolutely. All right. So you promised me In Bed by 10. We didn't make that.
Not quite.
Please listen to the show
every day.
Here's where you can find us on all these podcast platforms and at suburbspod.com and on the socials at suburbspod and all that stuff.
And thank you to intern Sam and intern Mary who are here tonight and helping out. Sam's doing video. Mary's doing sound. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Sam. They're the real heroes of the show.
Absolutely, and thanks to Christian, who's running sound here at Jam and Java.
Thank you, Christian.
Thanks to Jam and Java overall.
Thanks to Jam and Java
for having us.
Thanks for the drink tickets.
That's right. And I think that's about it, right? Where are we here?
I think that's it. You might want to get your cameras ready. Does anyone have their...
Ready for the big finish?
Does anyone have their camera? Get your camera ready right now. Yeah! Do it, Jim! Yes!
Thanks for coming out tonight.
That went better than I hoped.
All right. Now, that sound you heard at the end.
Yeah,
there.
What was that?
What was that? Did that take you by surprise, Patrick?
Yeah, it did a little bit. It totally took my wife by surprise. She actually ducked her head under the table because she thought she was going to get hit by flying debris.
So explain to people what happened from your vantage point.
Basically, all of a sudden, Jim pulled a guitar out from under the table and smashed the hell out of it. It was fantastic.
Yes.
And there's a great GIF going around on the social medias if you haven't seen it.
But, yes.
It's really awesome.
Yes.
It was fantastic. And I'll tell you, man, that thing came apart. Part much better than I was hoping, because when you hit the stage, it just splintered, man.
Yes.
It was awesome. You crushed it.
Yes.
It was good.
I'm not going to give away my secrets for that, but yes.
No, you got all of that.
Worked out great. So there you go. That was the big finale of the show. We thought
fantastic.
We should do something.
Yeah, totally great. Yeah. We figured kicking our laptops was too expensive. So
that's right.
I appreciate you doing that.
Best to go this way. All right. So there you go. That was the live show. That was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was fantastic. Thanks again to Jam and Java and everybody who came out. And I, you know, we hope to build on that momentum. We'd love to do another one at some point, maybe in Grand Rapids, you know.
Yep.
And if anybody has any interest, let us know. And like you mentioned, Jim, you can go to patreon.com/suburbspod. And there are some options there to support our show. There's an option, a big option at the very bottom if you scroll down. If you want us to come to your place and do a week of shows, we can recreate the magic
of course
of this live show
according to your specifications.
Yeah. Take up a collection, people. Yeah, that's fine. You can do that.
It takes a village to bring Suburbs Pod to your town. Right. So if you really are up for it, we will be there.
That's right. We'll do it. Now, a couple other thank yous that we should get in here, too. We should, of course, Jam and Java, we thank them. But two of our interns were there live.
Yes, absolutely.
On the scene, of course, intern Sam, he was running some video. So we're going to put some video up on the Patreon and maybe some little clips on the social media. Yeah. And then also intern Mary was monitoring the sound the whole time. And that's crucial, of course.
Totally crucial.
If we don't have good audio, then what is the point?
That's right. It's all about getting the podcast. And you know, both of them are just fantastic. Sam works 12 hours a day and comes and does the, you know, live video with his GoPro. And Mary was just great there with her husband. And it was great to meet him. And just having her there was great.
Yes.
It was a great backup.
It was wonderful.
That's why this sounds so good.
That's absolutely, absolutely true. So. All right, so we hope everyone had fun.
Thanks
with that. We hope that your songs made it in the top 10 and you're not upset like Kevin Spain. And let us know what other bands you'd like to hear a top 15 countdown.
That's a great point, Jim.
We did get, there's a little bit of a groundswell happening right now for Pink Floyd.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Would you be up for that?
Sure, totally. All right. Yeah. All right, so. And I know our friend Gary would love for us to do the jam. Him and the Bish would be there, yeah. So if you do have an idea, that'd be great. Pink Floyd is very interesting. I mean, that's another band with different eras and, you know, a long career. That'd be kind of fun.
All right. Well, that's out there, but we'd like to hear from other people, too.
Yeah.
Let us know what band you'd like, or band or artist you'd like us to do a top 15 on, and we'll try to make that happen. Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's move on to next week.
That's probably a good idea.
I'm really tired after this week.
Yeah, that was exhausting,
Jim.
I'm
very tired.
Thanks for all your hard work. And it really worked out well. So thanks to everybody. And we will look forward to the next event.
If you're our new listener, you discovered us through this event, through this week, please stick with us. Subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Sign up for our newsletter at Suburbs Pod. Then you can always, at suburbspod.com. Then you can always know what's coming up.
That's right.
What else? Anything else you would advise the new listeners? You know, just follow us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. You can also then see what's going on there too, right?
Yeah, and totally. And I think, you know, I was joking earlier in the week, but just because we have a lot of episodes doesn't mean you have to go back and listen to everyone to be a part of this podcast or this community. Just follow us on Facebook and you'll see kind of how we roll. And I think you'll enjoy it. It's very low key and just people who love music.
So. Yeah. So
we're very lucky in that sense. And, hopefully, we'll keep it going, Jim.
All right. Sounds good. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
What's for tea, ma'am?